Yes? And I invite you to please join in singing Gathered Here. We do not have an accompanist right now. I'll share this again in announcements, but we have somebody interviewing for the accompanist position. We expect to have somebody enroll in 2 weeks. So in the meantime, we rely on your patience and your good graces to help us out. So are we ready? Can we go to the next slide? There we go. Please rise as your spirits and bodies allow. 1, 2, 3. Gathered here in the mystery of the hour, gathered here in one strong body, gathered here in the struggle and the power, Spirit, draw near. Song, maybe a new one to you. It is the words of, I want to make sure I say her name correctly, Faya Ora Rose Turi, who was the very first African-American judge, female judge in Alabama. And she was well known for acquiring civil rights and won one of the biggest civil rights cases in the history of the United States. And so these are her words coming from her community and tradition. So just repeat after me. There's a river flowing in my soul. There's a river flowing in my soul. There's a river flowing in my soul. There's a go on to heart and we'll sing it all together. There's a river flowing in my heart. There's a river flowing in my heart. And it's telling me that I'm somebody. There's a one a few times before, but I'm just going to sing it over and over. Huh? What?
I was just looking at the word sea.
Down to the sea. That was just me mistyping. I did this very late at night.
Yes, that's true.
And I think also the double entendre is good. All right. So, just join in as you're ready.
The river is flowing, flowing and growing. The river is flowing down to the sea. Mother, carry me, your child I will always be. Mother, carry me down to the sea. The river is flowing, flowing and growing. The river she's flowing down to the sea. Mother, carry me, your child I will always be. Mother, carry me down to the sea.
Please be seated. You can move it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Dee Evans, and I welcome you here as we begin our new church year at this homecoming service. This is a congregation that gathers in faith, not the faith in one religion or a God or any one thing. We gather in faith in the power of diversity, the power of love, and the hope of a world transformed by our care. We gather in faith in ourselves and those around us, not a faith that requires perfection or rightness in one another. Faith that in our shared imperfection, we may learn to stumble and fall together. Faith that we will help one another to rise and try again and again. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular to those who are first-time visitors. We welcome you and especially encourage you to join us after worship for our potluck gathering. Information about the church is available from the new member desk during our coffee hour or potluck today, and from any of the people gathered here. We invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. If you do so, we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at the church. We are glad you are here, and we hope to see you for future Sundays. We do have a nursery for infants and young children out the store and to the left. At the front of our sanctuary, right there, we have a spirit chair which includes all activities for all ages, including coloring, crayons, pipe cleaners, and more. You are invited to go to the spirit chair anytime during the service and to take an activity back to your seat. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. Kelly, we're going to give some announcements, so Kelly is going to make a very important one.
Good morning, I'm Kelly Crone Willis, and I'm on the Ministerial Search Committee. You may have remembered me from the survey reminders. But this is a different reminder. So I want to remind everyone that next Sunday is our UU-led workshop called Beyond Categorical Thinking. This program is developed by the UUA to promote inclusive thinking and prevent unfair discrimination during our congregation's search for a new settled minister. There was an article in the church newsletter this past month that has a lot of details about the event and about our facilitator, Jerry Carden, who's from Urbana, Illinois, and he'll be traveling down to meet with us. But here's the schedule for next Sunday. So we'll have Sunday service, will be led by Jerry from 10 to 11. And then there's a three-hour workshop after service that is the Beyond Categorical Thinking workshop part. The search committee is going to provide lunch between the two, so after the service, then we'll break for lunch, and then we'll move into the workshop. We'll be providing child care for the little ones, but any of the other children, we just ask the parents use their best judgment for age and appropriateness. You know, if they can be at the workshop, they are welcome. We would love to have them. And then the only other thing we ask is that you sign up either on the work the sheet in the worker room or on the UU Friends Facebook page so that we know like account for food and for childcare. And we need to know that by this Thursday. And if you have any questions, just see anybody from the search committee. And we hope you join us next week for this workshop. And as another reminder, don't forget to fill out your congregational survey. You'll be getting another reminder tomorrow if you don't.
Do you have any announcements?
Do we have a prayer?
Do you have any announcements?
No, I have none.
I can't reiterate enough how valuable and important the Beyond Categorical Thinking workshop is to the search process and to you as a congregation. I will be in attendance, though I will not be leading in any way. I'll just be attending. I may bow out early because we do have a wedding that afternoon for Daisy. But I do encourage you, if you are able to be there, please go. It'll be very much worth your time and worth your while. We have just a few announcements today. One is, for those of you who were here a little bit earlier, we are in the process of hiring an accompanist. Thanks to Mary's fine work, we have found someone who's interested, and I'll be interviewing her in about a week and a half. So at least this Sunday and next Sunday, we are accompanist free, and hopefully we'll have someone in place by either the 27th of September or October 5th. We have an escapee. Yay. Joy and community. Starting September 26th, I believe it is, it's a Saturday at 4 o'clock p.m., we will be having a worship service that's more of a Vespers-type worship service. It will include more meditation and times of silence, but also include chanting, some liturgical dance, some opportunities for movement. It will be very different than the Sunday worship, though it will contain the same theme, and there will be a much shorter version of the sermon that is preached on Sunday. So there's some parallels between the two services. That will begin Saturday the 26th at 4 o'clock, and we will experiment with that for the next few months. I also want to make sure everyone's aware that the board has approved the hanging of a Black Lives Matter sign on our building. I do believe Juliet Crone Willis is responsible for acquiring the sign. I suspect she would appreciate any funding that folks want to offer in support of that particular thing, because it is about $150 or so. And we will be hanging it way up high on the parapet so it doesn't get attacked, as it has been in so many congregations. But I'm also aware, because it's so high, all of Alton will be able to see it. So it should be interesting to see. So I just want to let you know that that's coming and that we'll be working towards that. And I want to thank Juliet for her good work on that. And with that, that concludes this morning's announcements.
Do we have a prayer lead?
Oh, yes, we do have a prayer lead. We begin our worship with a prelude. Begins.
I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming. Up in this place, and I'm finally at the front of this race, and I ain't going back. I'ma rip this track till the world's hitting up in my face. I said I'm back up in this place, and I'm finally at the front of this race, and I ain't going back. I'ma rip this track till the world's hitting up in my face.
Yeah, I've been away for a while. I gave my word when I returned that I'd come back with. with a smile. I don't come back in all. The world of storm blows, but I ain't backing off. Everybody claim they want to grow, but they just slacking off. It took a lot of years to put the hood behind me. The best advice I got was that I had to find me. Another day, another challenge. I never thought I'd see the day I'd be rewarded for
my
talent.
I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world that I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home.
And if you ever call up and say you fell down, it feels good that I can finally help them all up. I'm doing well now, let's go tear them all up. We ain't gotta split the bill, I told you I got all us. Came a long way from those ghettos on the East Coast. The seventh letter, sixth number, flying high, who needs coach? I miss my son up in my arms, miss my homies, miss my moms. I'm home cooking with the bomb.
I'm and coming home, gone, I'm coming home. So tell the world that I'm coming home. Left the rain, and though my kingdom wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home.
This one's for all my people in the struggle, unemployed or working double shifts. Take your head and lift it in the air, one fist in the air. Reach for the stars, you're almost there. You can't make it, I've been there. You can't take it, I've been there. Even though all the hope is gone, find something to focus on. You need motivation, that's the reason why we play this song. To let you know you're not out in this world on your own. And only time you're going back is when you go.
I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home.
Our prelude is all about what today is about. With Unitarian Universalists throughout the world, we are called together to celebrate the start of our church year. This is called the ingathering. It is usually celebrated with a special ritual of the water communion. For some, this ritual is a way to celebrate our coming together and the special faith we have in the interdependent web of existence. Let us begin our worship celebration. Ben Heft will light our chalice.
I invite you to join me in the chalice lighting hand motions and words. We light this chalice, we light this chalice, symbol of Unitarian Universalism. May it remind us of the divine spark in all of creation, the power of love to heal what is broken, and to be grateful for life's blessings each day.
Let us join in reciting our covenant together to strengthen and nurture our welcoming community with love, compassion, respect. We covenant together to honor and make space for our diversity, respect our volunteers, leaders, and staff by supporting balance in their lives and in their personal and professional pursuits. Encourage each member to develop a personal spiritual practice that cultivates honesty and acceptance. Remembering our humanness, we acknowledge our imperfection and extend forgiveness to ourselves and others. Engage in our own and larger community with integrity by taking responsibility for our actions, facilitating our right relationships, and living into the journey. Please stand, if you choose, to sing our opening hymn.
Where's Joy? Can you help, please? I don't know this well enough. Thank you. I thought I did, but I'm just realizing I don't. It's important to know one's limitations. It's easy once I get into it, but... How many folks remember this? Sorta? All right, this is why we do the hymn of the month. We'll sing this every week this month, every Sunday this month. All right.
I gotta look at the words. I know the tune, but I don't
know the words are right there.
Okay, gotcha. If I'm a Unitarian, then I have come to know that no one creed can say it all. There's always room to grow. If I'm a Universalist, then it is clear to me that tolerance will only come when minds are open and free. If I'm a Unitarian, then I have come to feel that there is worth in everything as long as it is real. If I'm a Universalist, then I can understand that freedom and responsibility go hand in hand. If I'm a Unitarian, then gladly I rejoice that my beliefs and way of life are all completely my choice. If I'm a Universalist, then I have come to learn of countless useful things to do that teach religious concern. If I'm a Unitarian, then I am really free to let myself be just the person I was meant to be. If I'm a Universalist, then I believe it's true that you can learn as much from me as I can learn from you.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
Each week, we take a collection from the bounty of this community. As you give to our collection plate this week, please take a moment to reflect on these words by Heather Christensen. Unitarian Universalism is a grand vision of a world filled with peace and justice, love and joy. That vision is embodied in a few large congregations, numerous mid-sized congregations, and many, many small congregations. No matter its size, every congregation depends on each of its members, each one of you. By your commitment of time, energy, and resources helps us make that grand vision real. Individually and together, we are Unitarian Universalists, building a world filled with peace and justice, love and joy. This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be joyfully given.
Thank you.
I invite you to please join me in our offertory blessing. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves and these our offerings. So I have a story to tell. Yay. Story time. How many of you have participated in the water communion at some point? How many of you have never heard of a water communion before today? Okay. This is the story of how we came to start using what we call water communion or the water ceremony or the water ritual. You pick your favorite word where you use, we do that. It goes like this. I speak now of a time of great changes, of the ebb and the flow of an ever-advancing tide, and of a low, slow swell of the sea. The women are rising. The women had always been there, of course, from the beginning, across the globe, down through the ages, in the homes of their families. The women fetched the water. They gathered and prepared the food. They made the clothes, tended the fires, and cared for the children, the sick, and the old. In this country, through the centuries, in the sacred places of their communities, the women cleaned the buildings, decorated the altars, brought the food, sang in the choir, helped the poor and the needy, and listened from the pews. From the beginning, the women had always been here. But mostly they had been silent, and mostly they held no power in their hands. Mostly the decisions had been made by men. In the year 1977, how many of you were born by 1977? A group of women gathered around a butcher block in the kitchen of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Lexington, Massachusetts. They decided that the women should be and would be heard. That summer, the Unitarian Universalist General Assembly agreed to their proposal, and the Women and Religion Resolution was formed. Our bylaws for our denomination were updated, our songs were revised, everything was changed. Our principles reframed so that the word he became he and she, and man became people. And a seventh principle was added, respect for the interdependent web of life, care for all creatures, man and woman and all genders, and stones and butterflies and trees. The words weren't the only things to change. People's ideas were changing too. The women were rising. The tide was flowing over the land. Can you imagine that tide of women strong? Some of you were those women strong. In 1980, a great gathering was held, a convocation on feminist theology. Don't worry, you don't need to know what that means. And people came from all over the land to honor their journeys, journeys through space and journeys through time, journeys with pain and joy, journeys completed and journeys ongoing, and also journeys not yet begun. Two women in particular, Lucille Longview and Carolyn McDade, created a ceremony of water sharing for them all. For the women were rising, and water had carried them all there. From the mouth of the Mississippi River, from the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean, the women and the waters came. From the oceans of the ages, from the ancient womb of life that created us all, the women and the waters came. In a circle of hundreds they gathered, in circle of hundreds they sang, in a circle unbroken they listened to each other's stories, and they listened to the waters as they fell. For the women came forth with their water, those waters from all over the land, and they mingled the waters in a great earthen bowl. Then, as each had given to the waters, each took from the waters, and in this taking they reclaimed the water. In this taking they reclaimed the earth. They reclaimed their history. They laid claim to their future and the future of all living things, a vow and a promise to each other and to themselves. Then in their circle of hundreds they sang, "We're coming home. We're coming home." For the women were rising and the waters were rising and great changes were sweeping all over the land, with the long and slow swell of the sea. And the women and people of all genders were all coming home. So Carolyn McDade, one of the people in that story, you might recognize her. How many of you know the song Spirit of Life? She wrote that. She wrote many of the hymns that we sing today. Aw, Eunice having a hard time. It's okay. So, the water communion has been a ritual that was then picked up from the women coming together and sharing these with their churches and kind of spreading it to women in other places. Because in the 1970s and 1980s, women were really fighting for their rights in a very significant way. They were often doing it almost like they were in islands by themselves. And they were burning out. They were tired. They didn't always have the energy to keep going. They didn't always have hope that things would actually change, right? And so when they would come for these gatherings of women, they would come for rejuvenation and for hope. And bringing the waters together reminded them that they were not alone in the face of all of that struggle. Now, each of us in our daily lives, we face very different struggles. Some of us face that exact struggle. The struggle for the rights of women continue. I'll tell you as a transgender person that my experience and the experience of most transgender folks is about the same as it was for women back then. You know, it's about as difficult. Well, there might be some other things that we face as well. But, you know, we're still in that place of feeling like we're in islands on our own trying to create these things. And the same thing's true for African-American communities off in their own areas, and immigrants who are dying in the desert, and all the people who are struggling for their rights. But they're all coming home to themselves and to the world around them. They, in a sense, have faith. As many of you know, this month, our monthly theme is faith. We're talking about faith and what it means. Does anybody remember what I said faith meant last week? What the definition was? Trust, yes. Faith means trust in someone or something. Does not necessarily have to mean faith in God or faith in your religion or faith. It can mean faith in any number of things. And this week, I want us to be thinking about what does it mean to have faith in humanity? How many of you have faith in humanity? How many are absolutely sure you have no faith in humanity? I knew Lane's hand. Yes, right? It's a difficult thing to have faith. Right? Which is why we say we have to have imperfect faith. We have faith not that the people will always do the right thing or always treat each other well, but faith that we will always strive to do our best. And that even in the face of people who may willfully try and prevent us from healing and growing and being strong, there are so many others that are willing to be with us on our journeys, that are willing to be strong with us and not let us be alone. We have our parents, we have our kids, we have our animals. I know Giselle gives me constant hope, even as she glares at me about why I'm not feeding her. You know, there's this, you know, always the kind of tension, but there's also this hope, this strength that we gather in each other. And I think of those women in the 1970s and early 1980s bringing that water and pouring that water in. Part of what they were saying is, we have faith in each other to affect change. There may be no hope for change in the future, right? The women at that time had no sense of whether they would actually achieve the goals of more rights for women, of being able to get into fields that were more towards their skill set but have been traditionally set aside for men. And we still struggle today. Men don't have some of the equality that they need. I have friends who like wearing dresses and fully identify as men, and they can't walk down the street safely. You know, I have friends of mine who are men who are nurses, who are straight and are often presumed gay because of the kind of work that they do. We make all these assumptions about who we are as people based on gender. We have a long way to go. But a lot of that work was done because women in the late 1800s and then again in the 1970s and 80s had hope, had faith that their efforts would change the world. And for me, that is what faith in humanity is. It's faith in each other. That it may not be something we can see, but together we can make the world a little bit better for one another, and we can be there and supportive to each other. May it be so. I invite you to rise as your spirits and bodies allow. Enjoying, and there's a river flowing in myself. And I will say for those who were not here with us during the hymn sing, Thea Ora Rose Touré was also known as Rose Sanders before she forsaken what she called her slave name and took on her family name. She was the very first African-American woman to become a judge in the state of Alabama. And she won one of the largest cases of African-American civil rights in the history of the country. And when she sings this, and as we sing this, I want us to be thinking about, there's a river flowing in my soul that tells me I'm somebody. Which implies that the person singing it sometimes wonders if they are somebody. And this calls them into a place of faith and hope that maybe they are worth and worthy. How many of us have felt that in our lives? So please join us in singing. There's a river flowing in my soul. There's a river flowing in my soul. And it's telling me that I'm somebody. There's a river flowing in my soul, in my heart. There's a river flowing in my heart. There's a river flowing in my heart. And it's telling me that I'm somebody. There's a river flowing in my heart. Mind. There's a river flowing in my mind. There's a river flowing in my mind. And it's telling me that I'm somebody. There's a river. Each week we take some time to be with those joys and sorrows, celebrations and struggles living in our lives. We begin each week by taking stones from a bowl that we have gathered as we have entered the room or as we come forward and placing them in the healing waters of this community. After today, the waters that we gather from our water communion will be blessed, will be cleansed, and a little bit of it will be placed in the bowl each time we replace it, so that there will always be waters of this community blessing the stones that we place here. That water will also be used for child dedications when we have children who wish to be dedicated by this community. So at this time, I invite you that if you have a joy or a sorrow, a struggle or a celebration, or anything that you wish to recognize and have cleansed through the stones and the water, to come forward at this time as we sing, "There's a River Flowing in My Soul," softly.
There's a river flowing in my soul. There's a river flowing in my soul, and it's telling me that I'm somebody. There's a river flowing in my soul. There's a river flowing in my heart. There's a
place a stone in the water for the people in Saudi Arabia who were killed and injured when a crane fell on one of their most sacred temples at one of the most sacred times of their ritual year. We place a stone in the water for those joys and sorrows lying in the silent sanctuary of our hearts. And we place a stone in the water for those who cannot be with us in community today. I invite you now into a time of meditation, prayer, or contemplation. This is your own personal practice. I invite you to close your eyes as you're comfortable, to kind of wiggle your butt into your seat a little bit, and to get comfortable, and to be aware of the world around you. What do you smell, and what do you hear? Pay attention to the feel of the air and the clothes on your skin. Think of the people sitting next to you, those you know and those you do not. And I invite you to take a slow, deep breath in and out. So you can do it deeply, I invite you to do it so your neighbor can hear you. In and out. And one more time. In and out. Into this silent space, we open our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to this most amazing world, to the beautiful weather this week, the lovely sun outside, and the river flowing before this city, as we gather and collect the waters of this community from the hands of our children, the hands of our elders, from the hands of all of us here gathered. We offer our blessings and our prayers to Nancy Magelson, whose mother is sick and dying. And we offer her blessings and care at her request. We offer blessings for healing and wholeness for all gathered in this community who are experiencing times of loss, of illness, of grief, of pain and struggle. May you be able to lay all of that on the feet of this community. Let it rest in this place, knowing that you are loved and that we are here for you. You are not alone. And as so often happens, we live in a world of joy and celebration alongside grief and struggle. And so we lift up into this community all those joys, those wonderments, and we invite you to not keep those blessings to yourselves, but share them with one another. For certainly we need more light in the world. And as you're present here and now, paying attention to the sounds, your breath, and thinking of all those joys and those struggles in your lives, I invite you to name from your seats those people that you wish to have remembered and cared for in an embracing meditation. Please speak those names now. For all those named and unnamed and those lying in the silent sanctuaries of our hearts, we offer our blessings and our care. May we in this day be ever present. Too often we can turn away from each other and from ourselves because it can be hard. Yet know this, that through and walking through all that we struggle with, there is hope. There is faith in one another. And perhaps even when it is most hard to find, there is faith in ourselves. Who we are and what we can overcome. May we be blessed in this day and each day to come, and blessed by all who are here gathered. May it be so. Spirit of life, come unto me.
Please join me in the following words by Rabindranath Tagore. You may read from the hymnal number 529 or follow along on the screen above. the stream of life that runs through the veins night and day, ends through the world, and dances in rhythmic measures. It is the same life that shoots in joy through the dust of the earth in numberless blades of grass and breaks into tumultuous waves of leaves and flowers. It is the same life that is rocked in the ocean cradle of birth and death, in ebb and in flow. I feel my limbs are made glorious by the touch of this world, and my pride is from the life throb of the ages I've seen in the world this moment.
How many people have heard of Confucius? And how many people have heard of Lao Tse or Lao Tzu? What did Lao Tzu do? Anybody know?
Put forth the ideas of Tao.
He essentially is the founder of Taoism, right? He put forth those ideas. And Confucius?
Ideas of Confucianism.
Of Confucianism, exactly. That one's pretty easy. So they were contemporaries, and I think that the kind of struggles that they had with each other, because certainly they argued, and they argued vehemently with each other, say a lot about the kind of questions that we have about faith. Now, how many of you like Taoism? A couple here and there. How many of you like Confucianism? I love Confucianism. If you haven't read Confucius, you really should. He's relevant even to today. There's a reason why he's banned in China. So here's the story. In one of the classic moments of religious history, Confucius and Lao Tse came face to face in the imperial library in the city of Luoyang, 500 years before the birth of Jesus. For a brief moment, sparks flew and harsh words were exchanged between the two seers. Both were venerated in their day, and both were destined to become founders of great faiths. Confucius believed that in studying social and political affairs and diligently searching history for its clues, the way of a better life could be revealed. Lao Tse believed that one should dissociate himself from world matters and contemplate the divine way of the Tao. Lao Tse said, one should contemplate the meaning of death and the way of the divine. To which Confucius responded in words that are quite memorable, how can one know anything about death when we know so little about life? They who teach of the gods are ignorant of the human ways. Sound familiar? Isn't that kind of the same argument we're having today? You know, in the United States, we have folks who are very much focused on afterlife and what comes next, and we have other folks saying we can't possibly know what's going to happen next. We barely know what's happening right now. Ultimately, I think a faith that is a Unitarian Universalist faith, that is a humanist faith, that is a faith of reason, is a faith that says, we're about here and now. We're about being with what's true in this moment. How many of you know exactly what to do right now? Nobody knows exactly what to do right now? I know this young man wants to go get something from the chair, which is okay. No? I know what I'm supposed to be doing right now. I'm preaching, right?
It depends on whether you're talking about specific actions or a general view of what to do with your life.
There we go. What does it mean to be here and now, to live life, to live it ethically? How many of you sit down and look at your breakfast and think, well, morally speaking, I should probably have this, this, and this? Lane. Of course Lane puts her hand up, yes. Ethically speaking, this is the moral thing to do, right? We don't generally spend our days going moment to moment, but the truth is that we don't really know even as much about this life as we possibly could. I think that the truth of the matter is that we want a little bit of Confucius and a little bit of Lao Tzu at the same time, right? We don't want to be so focused in the moment that we forget that we have things that we're passing on. You think about our ancestors. Their blood lives in your veins. If they had not some sense of the hope for the future of what's possible, would we even be sitting here today in this most amazing room on this hill in Alton, Illinois, where people were here 200 years ago? People were here 500 years ago, even before Europeans came to this land. And some of our ancestors were here or were in other places around the world. Their actions made it possible for us to be here today. Sometimes I think what happens after death we imagine as being some heaven or hell or whatever it is, when really it's what our legacy is. Our names are forgotten, but because we lived, so much is possible. I have faith in the power of every person here. I look at the children. Where are our children? Raise your hands. Or our youth, anybody under the age of 18. And I think, we're giving you guys all of our faith. I have a lot of faith in the youth in this room. Yeah, definitely have a lot of faith in them. And I have faith in them because I look at the elders in this room and think they used to be them. And look what they've done. So much is possible. Faith in humanity means having faith in each other and faith that what we do now matters for the future. That we have to focus on the questions of living, so that once we're gone, other people can focus on those questions too. So faith does not have to be faith in some deity, and I'm not denouncing deities. I know some of us believe in gods and goddesses and things, and that's important if that's your personal faith. But when I think about us as a community in faith together, I think that we can agree that how we treat each other here and now and what we pass on to the future, that is the great gift we have to give. And I look at these kids, and I have a lot of hope for what's to come. So as we gather our water together this morning, and we bring all the waters of our experience, of what we know about living and life, and knowing that every single person sitting here next to us has a whole nother understanding of living and life, then when we share those waters together, we create a great current that can bless and transform our world. And leave it well for the kids who sit with us today. May we have faith in humanity, ever coming home again and again. How many of you brought water? Don't worry if you didn't. We have a pitcher here. I will say, the pitcher has limited water. So pour, but pour and be done, right? Just a little bit. So you can have that water symbolize a place that's significant to you. The water that I placed in earlier today came from a lake and a river that were significant to my mother. You know, and I'll also think of other places that are significant when I'm pouring water at other times. So you can think of the water, or if you actually brought the water, think about how it's significant and meaningful to you. Think about all that water that's in your body. 70% of you is water. Almost all of you is water. What would you do without it? We'll be singing, "The river is flowing." And as we do so, I invite you to come up this aisle, place your water in, and exit down this aisle, back to your seat. And we'll actually start with sections. So I'm going to invite the folks on this side of the room to come on up.
River is flowing, flowing and growing. The river is flowing down to the sea. Mother, carry me, your child I will always be. Mother, carry me down to the sea. The river is flowing, flowing and growing. The river is flowing down to the sea. Mother, carry me, your child I will always be. Mother, carry me down to the sea. The river is flowing, flowing and growing. The river is flowing down to the sea. Mother, carry me, your child I will always be. Mother, carry me down to the sea. The river is flowing, flowing and growing. The river is flowing down to the sea. Mother, carry me, your child I will always be. Mother, carry me down to the sea. The river is flowing, flowing and growing. River is flowing down to the sea. Mother, carry me, your child I will always be. Mother, carry me down to the sea. The river is flowing, flowing and growing. The river is flowing down to the sea. Mother, carry me, your child I will always be. Mother, carry me down to the sea. The river is flowing, flowing and growing. The river is flowing down to the sea. Mother, carry me, your child I will always be. Mother, carry me down to the sea. The river is flowing, flowing and growing. The river is flowing down to the sea. Mother, carry me, your child I will always be. Mother, carry me down to the sea.
Place water for all those who cannot be with us today and for all those lying in the silent sanctuaries of our hearts. I invite you to listen to the water flowing. The waters of generations, droplets upon droplets that have come from all over the world, evaporated into the sky, traveled rivers and mountains, deserts, water faucets, so that it may gather here at this church to fall into this pitcher, to be shared by this community with the waters gathered from so many different places. And so as we bless this water, I invite you to consider one or two words, that say why the water that you placed is meaningful or significant to you. Think of one or two words. And I invite you to say from your seat those one or two words. Say them now. Love, hope, I like that there are two shells in this water.
They're from the North Sea.
They're from the North Sea, good to know. And so I invite you to recite after me these words. We bless this water.
We bless this water.
With our presence and love. We bless this water.
We
with our faith and hope.
With our faith and hope.
We bless this water.
We bless this water.
For all those who came before us.
For all those who came before us.
We bless this water.
We bless this water.
For all those to come.
For all those to come.
We bless this water.
We bless this water.
In the names of our children.
In the names of our children.
We bless this water.
We bless this water.
In the names of our elders.
In the names of our elders.
We bless this water.
We bless this water.
For ourselves.
For ourselves.
And for the world.
And for the world.
And as we bless this water.
And as we bless this water.
May we let it sustain us.
May we let it sustain us.
In the year to come.
In the years to come.
May it be so. I invite you to rise as your spirits and bodies allow. And I invite you to face across the chandeliers towards your neighbors. This is the, oh no, I have to look at other people moment. Look around at the sacred community, particularly look for those faces you may not know or not know well, to those who give of themselves that you may be here. In loving community, as I share these words. It starts with a drop, and then a trickle, a burble and a rush of water bubbling toward its destination, and finally the wide, endless sea, the ocean. All rivers run into the sea. Today you brought water, poured it into a common bowl. Though our experiences have differed, these waters mingle, signifying our common humanity. Today, you came, these amazing faces that you are looking into now, and shared in this sacred community. May you depart this sacred space, hearts filled with hope for new beginnings, a fresh start. Go forth, but return to this community where rivers of tears may be shed, where dry souls are watered, where your joy bubbles, where your life cup overflows, where deep in your spirit you have found in this place a home, all rivers running to the sea. Look at each of these rivers before you, creating the ocean of our world. May you be blessed. As Dee is extinguishing her chalice, I invite you to be seated and enjoy our postlude. My understanding is this is a favorite of Kleber's. So please feel free to sing along if you know the song. Don't sing along with this. See, I have an ad blocker on my Chrome at home, and so these don't pop up when I do this. Water! They're going home, can you tell? There's water in the champagne. Can I just say I love that the community goes with the flow of things? Thank you. Here we go.
Hold on to me as we go. As we roll down this unfamiliar road, and although this wave is stringing us along, just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place yours. Oh,
Our worship is ended. Let our service begin.
In a river town, and on that street is Mary's house. By the house is a deep ravine, and running there is a magic stream. Laughing over the sand and rocks, it runs the length of Mary's block. Another mile to the riverside, and 1,000 more to the ocean wide. Ravine one day, by the water Mary lay, put her hand in the shallow stream, and Mary had a magic dream. She imagined that inside her stirred all the waters of the earth, every puddle, every creek, and every one of the seven seas. She could feel in her fingers and her toes, and in her chest, the Gulf Stream flows. Now, ever since her dream that day, people say that Mary's changed, but they sympathize when they suppose it must be strange to be the ocean. She senses when the salmon swim and hurricanes lick her skin. Asia tickles her left arm and the moon above tugs her heart. Her front is day, her back is night. She recollects the dawn of life. Tidal waves run up her spine and lightning tingles when it strikes. She can feel the fishes roll in her fingers and her toes, and in her chest. Happens, so it seems, because of Mary's magic stream. But some will say that lakes and wells and even rain can cast a spell. And every water drop you ask tells a tale of oceans vast. So careful when you take a drink, 'cause there's magic in the kitchen sink.
Next one I do. I like that.